Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
The weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday.
It was chillier last Sunday.
Absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out here. Bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
Coming down now.
Stay warm over here. Hey, stay warm over here.
Are you ready? I said, are you ready? It is Super Bowl Sunday. Wow, we made it, did we? Not every year we do this. I tell you, I look forward to this every year. My name is Saul Marquez, El Presidente. And no, your ears are not playing tricks on you. This is a very special episode of The Balance. And I tell you what, we're going to spend the next 2 hours together, talking about the Broncos and the Seahawks in Super Bowl 48 out in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Super Bowl Sunday, boys and girls. Yeah, baby, yeah. 917-889-8516. Are you a Hawk fan? Yeah, Bronco fan, we want to talk to you. We want to talk with you about your team. We got a lot of fun stuff planned today. Today is kind of a fun show that we do every year. I know here in about 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. Be breaking down the game. And, you know, one of the things that, as you know, on Saturday morning, we have our Balance regular episode, and we're a little bit more structured. But on our Super Bowl Sunday, we kind of just, let whoever wants to stop by, stop by. So sometimes we don't put the firm commitment on it. But if they've got some time to call in, we always welcome in. You too, my minions. We want to talk with you if you're a Bronco fan, if you're a Seahawk fan, or if you're just a fan that didn't quite make it, maybe a Colts fan that's turned into a Bronco fan, like many people here in Indianapolis. We flagship out of Indianapolis, Indiana. The greatest sports city in the world, and could not find a better city to flagship from. Again, my digits, 917-889-8516. Get you here to the studio with me. We'll talk Super Bowl. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Make it Super Bowl related. You want to talk about commercials? You want to talk about your most memorable moments? You want to talk about anything to do with the Super Bowl? I'm all ears. And we'll jump into that conversation. It's Sunday morning. It's Super Bowl Sunday, boys and girls. That's right. Super Bowl Sunday has arrived. We'll be right back, and we're going to get in to our Super Bowl special, Super Bowl 48 2014, right around the corner.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rich.
Oh.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
AFC Championship.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
The Denver Broncos are heading to the Super Bowl.
Jump back!
Omaha!
There's that sound!
Omaha!
Here it comes! Right before touchdown! No clue what the heck it's gonna do! Have the vision! Changing decisions! Why's he yelling that?
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha!
Omaha! Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha! Omaha!
Omaha!
Omaha!
Rags,
Montana, five
men! Omaha!
God, that me!
Omaha!
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Ballast, our Super Bowl special 2014. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is so good to have you along with us on Super Bowl Sunday. We do this every year. It is an annual tradition here at the Ballast, where no matter who's playing in the Super Bowl, we devote 2 hours of time to you and talk about it, break down it, you know, the storylines, everything that's there. So certainly, if you want to talk some Super Bowl, we want to talk with you. As we know, it's the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. You know, I think a lot of people have said, hey, you know, this is Broncos year here in Indianapolis. Obviously, a lot of us have become Bronco fans by association. But, you know, there's another team coming out there to East Rutherford, New Jersey, and that's the Seattle Seahawks, and led by their general, Pete Carroll. I tell you, this team is no joke. The Broncos cannot slack on the Seahawks. And I haven't quite seen the Vegas spread yet. Maybe Matt Hicks has, and we'll get into a conversation with him. But I have not seen the spread yet, but I know it's got to be tight. And I can tell you one thing, the Denver Broncos cannot let up on the Seattle Seahawks. They are the best defense in the NFL. And Denver Broncos are the best offense in the NFL. The tale of two cities. It's going to be exciting. We know Peyton Manning well here in Indianapolis. But here recently, he's really become a more of a national icon, as you heard in our little soundbite there, Omaha. Omaha loves him, too. Omaha Steaks donating money every time he uses it. So, hey, to his payback foundation, what do you want to bet that maybe today, since the kitty's gone up to $1,700 per pop, every time number 18 says Omaha, $1,700 goes into that kitty for his foundation for underprivileged kids. As we know here in Indianapolis, we call that the Payback Foundation. Great organization, great charitable things, and Peyton Manning is a class act, does a lot for the city, gives a lot back that's given him so much as well. So, yeah, we do remember a quarterback by the name of Peyton Manning around here. And, you know, I want to know how many fans are now Bronco fans? Raise your hands here. Can't see on the radio, but are Bronco fans because of Peyton Manning? You know what? And this is a true story. I used to live when I was younger and a child. I used to live in Colorado Springs, and back then they called the Denver Bronco the Orange Crush. So I liked the Denver Broncos back then. I didn't jump on any bandwagon. I liked the Broncos. I always have liked the Broncos, no secret. But I really like the Broncos this year because of number 18. And how many of you guys can relate to this? A quarterback I used to know.
Volunteer player with a pedigree. Told myself that you were right for the team, but secretly I wanted Ryan Leaf. But I was wrong and you're the best I can remember.
Here in Indianapolis can sing that song, let me tell you. Just a quarterback that I used to know. Only one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Will his legacy, will a win in Super Bowl 48? Does a second Super Bowl win cement Peyton Manning's legacy as the greatest quarterback ever? That's the question. And I tell you what, you know, a lot of people, you know, and here we go. Yet again, he gets the most valuable player. Imagine that. Peyton Manning, the quarterback we used to know. I love it. But you know what? In all seriousness, we joke around about it. But how fun is that to see number 18 back in the Super Bowl? This is our Super Bowl special. My name is Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. You want to talk about the NFL, about the Super Bowl? How about the winter weather? That's, you know, that's a big storyline this year, the weather. And believe it or not, what little bit I do know about the Vegas betting odds, they actually it changed the other direction when the Broncos at least the gap tightened when they realized it was going to be maybe 49 degrees. So there was a change there, a shift, if you will, in the when Las Vegas said, wait, it's not going to be cold weather. There's been a big spike in the interest this year because of the weather. And I guess that storyline kind of fizzled everywhere. Well, maybe everywhere but Vegas, I guess, where betting is everything. If you were at Vegas right now and you were betting on the Super Bowl, how much would you put down? $100? Yeah, it seems to be the average. A lot of people would bet $100. I'm a conservative bettor. I probably bet 50. If, you know, I believe bet what you can afford to lose, right? But certainly a lot of fun out there in Vegas, and a lot of, you know, what makes your determination on which team you're going to go for? And we're going to absolutely get into the conversations, the deep conversations, the thought-provoking conversations of Peyton Manning and Marshawn Lynch. We're going to get into those conversations, but I just want to know, and maybe you've got a Super Bowl tradition, a Super Bowl party you go to, or a Super Bowl party that you host, or maybe there's a food that you like, or maybe you watch it for the commercials. You know, how many people go to these Super Bowl parties and actually watch the actual game? Well, I am one of those, a lot of people are, but I think also a lot of people aren't. A lot of people just say, hey, you know, a good time to socialize, and it's become somewhat of a national holiday, if you will, here in the United States. And how many people are taking the day off work tomorrow, taking your PTO and all of that, just because, you know, hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday and you want to cut loose. But I tell you what, Peyton Manning is the real deal. And we want to talk about his legacy. We want to talk about what a great quarterback he is, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not ever. And, you know, numbers don't lie. Here we go. We've got a quarterback who, you know, really, for all intents and purposes, was put aside as washed up, old, hey, did a great job, going to put you in the same conversations as good quarterbacks that really just didn't have a legacy, such as Dan Marino. Maybe John Elway there for a while. But how the stars lined up for this to happen, I don't know. For John Elway basically being in the same boat with Denver Broncos, and really being in a situation where he was done. He won a Super Bowl, and he was done. You know, we got a big, big doctor's appointment coming up here with number 18. Manning says, hey, you know, I'm not going to argue with whatever the doctors may say to me. Now, maybe there's one side of us that say, that's not true. He'll argue. He's Peyton Manning. He can get a doctor to say anything. But maybe, you know, it comes that point in your career, whenever that is, that you've got to say goodbye. Maybe it's this year. Maybe it's next year. I think we're certainly on the downside or downcline of Peyton Manning. And one would think that if he wins a Super Bowl, he's done it all. Won the MVP. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. One would say that Peyton Manning has accomplished everything. And if you're going to end your run, your reign, as the greatest quarterback ever, why taint that? Not in a negative way, like he's going to go out and do something negative and do something bad, break the law or whatever. Well, you know, weed is legal now in Colorado. Can you see Peyton Manning just sitting back with his buddies smoking and toking? Man. No, I don't think – that's not what I mean by tainting his legacy. What I mean by tainting his legacy is let's say he wins the Super Bowl today and he goes on for another year. Next year, this next season, let's say he's hurt. Maybe not a career-ending hurt. Maybe he's out 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Of course, that's going to bring his average numbers down. So when I say that, what would happen if he taints his legacy? If he wants to retire at the top of his game, now is the time for Peyton Manning to say, I've really enjoyed being your quarterback all these years. As he said to us here in Indianapolis, and, you know, a similar conversation could say, not all these years in air quotes, but the time I've had in Denver Broncos. And certainly everybody would think that Peyton Manning obviously would retire and go into the Hall of Fame as an Indianapolis Colt. He's at the top of his game. I mean, there's something to be said about retiring at the top of your game. Now, the story's still being wrote every year, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. Every year, there's another quarterback. We look at Andrew Luck. Is Andrew Luck the greatest quarterback ever? You know, one could have that conversation. One could have the conversation about Tom Brady being the greatest quarterback ever. Certainly if you put that in the conversation based on the amount of Super Bowls they've won, Tom Brady would be your guy. But for Peyton Manning, being his age, I believe he's 37 years old, for Peyton Manning, being as old as he is, when I say old for the NFL, I'm 45. I don't feel old, although that depends on the morning. And when this just depends on the day, I guess. I saw something the other day. I shared it on Facebook. I'm glad I'm over 40 because all the stupid things I did was before the internet. So, you know, what are your thoughts about Peyton Manning staying around? 917-889-8516 is the number, is the digits to get to me. What are your thoughts? Guys, it's the Seahawks. It's the Broncos. Peyton Manning at the top of his game. Does he retire? Is his legacy in place? Let's have a different question. What if they don't win the Super Bowl? Which, by the way, there's a very good chance. You could go either way on your predictions this year and be right and probably have a good argument for it. I just believe that they have all the weapons to make it happen. It's not going to be a layover. We very well might see an overtime in the first overtime in the Super Bowl history ever. Ever. Well, guys, it's not just the Broncos. It's also the Seahawks. We're going to take a break. We'll get back. And I'm right back right around the corner here. We're going to be talking with Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan. Going to be breaking down this big game today. Yeah, we're going to get into the X's and O's. Haven't forgot about that, guys. Super Bowl Sunday. It's our special.
looks, fires down the far sideline, got a man, it's Kirk. Kirk makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks. It's a Husky, and baby, does he make a catch in the end zone, Jermaine Kirk. Kaepernick takes the snap, four-man rush. Kaepernick looks, fires left side, oh, popped up in the air. It's going to be intercepted. Bell's got to get rid of the ball and pick up. It's Richard Sherman. He's going to go down the fourth sideline. Are you kidding me? Nobody's going to touch him.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Celebrities. One game, one big bet. The winner gloats. The loser faces certain public humiliation. This is You Bet Your Ass. Taron Killam, comedian, actor, Seahawks fan.
I'm Taron Killam. Go Seahawks. Ain't no way they're gonna lose. Richard Sherman's the greatest player ever, and I agree with him.
Judah Friedlander, comedian, actor, world champion.
I'm the world champion. Judah Friedlander. And Taron, Denver is going to win. And why do I know that? Because I'm an athlete, a karate hero, a role model to children. You're a sketch guy, an actor, and that's great and everything. But you don't know sports. I do.
Peyton Manning is 37 years old. He's the only NFL quarterback with a stat for bone density.
That's right. He's 37 years old, which means he's got experience, which is better than Seattle, who has a quarterback who's 15.
Can I ask you something? Are you allowed to live in Denver if you're not a white guy with dreadlocks?
Can we agree on this, Taron? Both cities are only inhabited by white guys with dreadlocks. So when they riot, they're going to be baked. These are going to be the most mellow riots. You're not even going to notice. So that's a bonus.
The Denver Broncos mascot is a white horsey. You know who else likes white horsies? Circuses and little girls.
Who do you think would win in a karate fight? A Bronco, the wild horse, or the Seahawk? Basically, Sam the Eagle from the Muppets.
Seattle's got the Space Needle, great coffee, and Bill Gates' dope-ass house.
The best thing to come out of Denver? A B-level omelet.
Seattle, you were great in the 90s. You're the only city America liked better when you were filled with heroin addicts.
Gentlemen, place your bet.
Okay, so here are the stakes. When the Broncos lose, you have to read an essay about the greatness of the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, but it's going to happen in public.
I like that.
More humiliating that way.
I agree.
And I'm going to write it. And you're going to read a love poem about the Denver Broncos and those beautiful horses.
Not going to happen.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
Seahawks are going to lose.
I'll see you on Sunday then. Bring it on.
Do it.
Who will be victorious and who will be humiliated? Watch for part two of You Bet Your Ass.
Super Bowl Sunday, we do this every year, our annual Super Bowl special, and I tell you what, it is great. Hey, joining us now, Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, local here in Indianapolis. Matt, how are you doing, sir? I woke up this morning and realized, for some reason, I thought it was just going to be maybe a little rain, a little freezing rain. I got up, and I got to shovel my driveway again this morning. What is up? Punxsutawney Phil says we got six more weeks of this crap.
Yeah, he failed us again, didn't he? And I'm in the same boat you are. You know, I live on the same side of town of Indianapolis that you do. And, yeah, I was a little surprised when I came out to that inch and a half, 2 inches of snow.
I am done with it, man. I am so done with this winter. Well, I tell you what, though, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so it makes it all good. We get to be inside all day and just soak up the atmosphere. Although I'm going out to lunch here in a little bit, but I will be. Other than that, I will be in and just be in a total food coma, maybe beer coma, I don't know, but some sort of coma where I'm not really worried about the weather. Well, I tell you what. We've got a quarterback we used to know out there in Broncos, the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks. Man, exciting game, the best defense against the best offense. Really, if you're a Vegas guy, this is the perfect storm that you would want to have.
Yeah, Vegas is going to make a lot of money today, one way or the other. You're absolutely right, because this is a line that opened at, like, what, 1.5? And I think it creeped up to 2 or 3, and now the last I saw it was back to nearly a pick'em or a 1.5, and that's usually a big payday for Vegas regardless. So I'm sure you saw, I think Floyd Mayweather said he's going to bet $10 million on the Broncos. So that doesn't help the line too much for anybody that likes Seattle. But, you know, it's an interesting game. You have the number one offense and the number one defense. And then, conversely, you have a very mediocre offense in the Seattle Seahawks and a, quite frankly, typical Peyton Manning defensive team. They're one of the worst defensive teams to ever make it to the Super Bowl. They gave up nearly 400 points in the regular season. Their only saving grace in this game is they go up against Seattle, which is a mid-pack offensive team. So it does prove to be the old unstoppable force against the immovable object type of game. So we'll see what really wins championships, offense or defense.
Well, and I tell you what, that's the ultimate question. Does the bear do what in the woods and what wins championships, right?
That's right.
It could go either way. I think the spread, I got to double check this, but I think I saw the spread was 3 or 5. I mean, who's going to lose here? Who's the loser if you bet over under? This would be one of those days I would say, unless you just got a gambling problem, stay away from gambling, because it could go either way for you, at least if you're going to bet $6.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're just having some fun with some prop bets, I'm with you on that. I am a novice gambler. In other words, I like to look at the line and say, oh, that's what I would bet if I actually had money to bet, but sure. I don't usually make those bets, and I'm the same way. this is not a game I would put too much on unless you're just looking to have a little bit of fun with a couple of bucks.
Right, right, yeah. You know, a couple of buddies or whatever. I've always thought that a case of beer is a great wager for me. So there's my gambling. Occasionally I might make it down to the casino or something. But, hey, so let's talk about this. Let's talk a little bit about the X and O's while we got some time with you today. Peyton Manning, it's really become the Peyton Manning story. He's obviously become the love child of the NFL for obvious reasons and for good reasons. And a conversation we were having a little bit before the break, and we'll continue that conversation a little bit here in a moment, is, you know, it's time for Peyton Manning to go. And I think you and I have talked, and you think that maybe he'll be around for a couple more years. But let's look at today's game. The Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll, John Fox, come together. Really, a lot of people could say Pete Carroll is one of the coaches of greatest coaches of all time. The Seattle Seahawks certainly are the real deal. So what does Peyton Manning and Marshawn Lynch have to do to lead their team to their prospective Super Bowl wins?
Well, you know, it's an old cliche and it's an old adage, but in this game today, I think it's going to prove the major stat of the day, if you will. Time of possession. If Marshawn Lynch can get 4.5 to 5 yards of carry, it is going to be a long day for the Denver Broncos. And when you look at that Denver defense, that's a real possibility. I thought last or 2 weeks ago now, when New England and Denver matched up, I thought New England would try to run the ball more than they did, and they abandoned the run pretty early in that game. Of course, when you've got Tom Brady, it's hard to fault them for that. But I really do think that if Seattle can limit the amount of possessions and possession time for Manning, they're going to keep the game close. And I think, if I had to guess, that's the game plan. The other big story of this game is the Colts. I mean, it's just crazy to even talk about, but the Colts provided great tape on how to beat the Denver Broncos. You press the receivers. You essentially play a cover two with help, and you take away the outside receivers and make Peyton Manning dink and dunk you. Now, he will do that, and he will score on you, as it was proven in that game. It ended up being quite a close game. But it takes more time than him being able to get 70 yards all at once. And then, obviously, you have to limit the yards after catch. But with Wilson's ability to scramble and create extra time, even with a competent Denver pass rush, I like Seattle's chances to make this a very close game. And I think when you're going up against a team or an offense, the caliber that the Denver Broncos are at, that's really all you're asking for. You're asking yourselves to give yourselves a chance, and hopefully the defense can cause quite a few field goals and quite at least two or three punts. I mean, what you don't want to have happen is at the end of the day to find out that there were no Denver Bronco punts. I think you lose a game in a shootout against Peyton Manning.
Well, absolutely. And here we are, the grand finale of the National Football League season, Super Bowl 48. And newsflash, people, it's not in New York. It's in New Jersey, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Cracks me up. Even though I know they're close in proximity and it's just across the river, but it's a completely different state, for God's sake. Is Cincinnati in Indiana? Is Louisville in Indiana? No, they are in Kentucky. They are in Ohio. The Super Bowl is in New Jersey. And let's talk about another big storyline making its way around. And certainly what we talked about with the betting, it had a lot of impact in where that spread went at is the weather. I mean, really, I look at it from two parts. The NFL said, hey, let's have a winter weather Super Bowl. How cool is that? Everybody loves winter snow football. Down in Philadelphia, up in Green Bay, of course, the frozen tundra. Everybody, even the Denver Broncos, everybody loves to watch the snowfall during football. Then we have a Super Bowl scheduled for MetLife Stadium, an outdoor stadium, an outdoor venue. It's going to snow. It's going to be cold. And we said, we did not have contingency plans. People are coming across the river, the subways. What are we going to do? It looks to me like the NFL could have had all of those plans in place. Okay, we want to have an outdoor Super Bowl in a winter town, but here's why we don't do it. Here's why we go to Miami. Here's why we go to Arizona. Here's why we go to other places, because of this, of Plan B. Did the NFL drop the ball in the location of the Super Bowl this year?
Well, it's a tough situation now for the NFL, because they have set a precedent that if you build a stadium, essentially you'll be awarded a Super Bowl. Now, could you imagine, by the way, the reaction to media and how positive they were about Indianapolis when we hosted the Super Bowl? Had it been here this year, they would have been in town for the city essentially shutting down because it was so cold. And then a surprise show this morning. So it would appear, now we'll have to see by the time game time comes around, there is a slight chance of precipitation. But it would appear the NFL dodged a major bullet. I'm a big believer that you decide the championship of your sport in ideal conditions. I actually am not even a big fan that the Super Bowls were played outdoors. Now, I might be in the minority on that, because I understand the elements are a part of the game, and I get that. But I want to see both teams at their ideal conditions. And I don't think many teams in the NFL are built to play in sloppy or snow conditions. So it would appear the NFL dodged a little bit of a bullet here. I'm not in favor of a cold weather outdoor Super Bowl. Like, I've heard rumblings, well, that, you know, if New Jersey can pull it off, maybe Chicago can. I'm not a big fan of that. Or Philadelphia is another team, another city I've heard mentioned lately. But the NFL has set a precedent, and they've got a plan in place. If there was weather, they were ready to do something different, which would have been intriguing to watch. But with all that being said, they did dodge a little bit of a bullet. Goodell's folly won't be seen to complete fruition, and this is going to be a game that's played in the low 40s, upper 30s, and it might rain at some point. But if you recall, we've seen a Super Bowl pretty much from start to finish in the rain now. So, I'm torn on this. I understand you want to reward a city for making that huge investment now of I think MetLife Stadium was over $1 billion. So, I mean, obviously you want to reward those states with the Super Bowl, but you're walking a fine line when you start giving them to cities like, you know, New Jersey, East Rutherford, the Meadowlands. You know, what if this had been the precedent years ago? Could you imagine a Super Bowl in Foxborough? Now, there's not infrastructure in place there, so it obviously could not happen. But that would be a bad place to play a Super Bowl today. I'm just guessing.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, though. And I probably shot myself in the foot, because I want the Super Bowl to come back to Indianapolis. So, you know, scratch everything I said about that whole weather storyline. Because, winter weather's okay. What a weather! Super Bowls are the bomb, man. There's nothing to worry about that, you know. And hey, you know what? I want to ask you this. I asked some people this yesterday. I played the Super Bowl Shuffle coming out of the break, the bumper music there. Now, do you remember the Super Bowl Shuffle?
Yeah, I was a little guy, but I mean, I remember. That's really, you know, I don't remember that game very much. I remember the Super Bowl Shuffle more than the game. I was a young fellow back then, but yeah, I do remember that Bears team, and I remember this city, how infatuated they were with that team, despite having a brand new NFL, new to us, new team.
New to
it's
us.
Not like you go to the team, but
yeah,
it was true, new team to us. And granted, they were dreadful, and I mean, if you were not here in 1984 and 85. Dreadful might not even be a word to describe how bad this Colts team was. It was awful. And then you have this team, you know, 2.5-3 hours away that is Hollywood, and you've got the great Walter Payton, and then Jim McMahon, who, you know, for all the stories of Jim McMahon, he was just a fun guy to watch play football. And then that great defense. So, yeah, the Super Bowl Shuffle, what a memory. And it's just one of those – it was kind of like similar to the team, wasn't it? A little one-hit wonder. That team had some good years, but they only won one championship. And then they were kind of broken up. You brought in Jim Harbaugh. That didn't work out. The defense never quite regained that level of dominance they had in 85. The offense never could keep par with that great defense, and that was their shortcoming. But just like the Super Bowl shuffle, the 85 Bears were kind of a one-hit wonder, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. At least your most memorable Super Bowl wasn't when you saw a boob.
No.
You know, funny story. I gotta say this. Axel was on the show with us yesterday, one of our fantasy football guys, and we're talking about most memorable Super Bowls. And I guess I'm dating myself. I'm 45 years old, so by that time I had seen plenty of boobs. But he goes, my most memorable Super Bowl, that was the first time I saw a boob. And I didn't even realize it till the next day when I was at school and everybody said, did you see the boob? Did you see a boob? So.
That's interesting. That you want to talk about the Super Bowl being revolutionary. That changed television. We're on delay for sporting events. I mean, you hear it. Basically, any basketball game you watch, you hear the lack of audio for a few seconds. That's because the player has used profanity, and then that changed television. The Super Bowl has ushered in a lot of, and the NFL has ushered in a lot of advancements in TV. In fact, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the first ever high definition broadcast was a regular season game, but it was an NFL game. I know Buffalo was the home team. I don't remember who they were playing, but that was the first ever HDTV broadcast. And where would we be without HDTV?
Oh, absolutely. Who remembers analog? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Anna who? Absolutely. Well, getting back on point here, Super Bowl 48 out of East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Broncos, the Seahawks. And really, it's always the quarterback focus point, even if there's other storylines. Obviously, we have a great quarterback storyline this year, so no problem there. But there's another quarterback that's really a polar opposite, if you will, between of their styles and the way they've done it. But they've both been able to get their team to the Super Bowl. You look at Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson, and they both have their own ways, their own styles. We know Peyton Manning. How many people really know Russell Wilson and what he's about? He's a very calculated quarterback and a very good quarterback that could do a lot of damage. Really, let's say it, the Denver Broncos defense isn't that good.
They're not, and you're absolutely right. The typical NFL novice fan is going to look at Russell Wilson and see an African-American quarterback and instantly assume he's a run-first quarterback. Well, no, he's not a run-first quarterback. He's a pocket passer, and he has, not shown the level of improvement that Andrew Luck did this season. He is a decent pocket passer, and he will look to throw the ball first. The dangerous thing about Russell Wilson is he does have some legs underneath him. He's incredibly athletic. He is really just a smaller Andrew Luck with maybe a little bit less of an arm. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised tonight when he hit the yards through the air. They're not going to expect that, I don't think. Now, what he can also do is obviously create time and get some hard yards with his legs, and I expect to see both out of that tonight, out of Russell Wilson. He's an interesting guy. A lot of people don't even realize that he actually started his football career at NC State. He did the kind of the new college thing and graduated in 3 years and then went on to Wisconsin. That's obviously where most people know him. He played in the Rose Bowl for Wisconsin. And he is an interesting quarterback, fell to the third round. A lot of people passed on him, of course. That's been a big story of the Super Bowl in his career to this point. But he is a very underrated pocket passer. And if you follow the so-called analysts and the so-called pundits, they'll tell you that maybe he has not shown the level of improvement from the pocket that some of the other young quarterbacks have. But nonetheless, he can throw the ball, and he will throw the ball tonight.
Well, absolutely. And Peyton Manning can throw the ball as well, as we know very, very well. And
yes,
here's
Tom, the difference between Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson is Peyton Manning runs like a baby giraffe. So, they can first step for the first time. Russell Wilson, he's got a motor. He can go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and haters will be haters. And, when this show's over, I go into complete fan mode. So I'm a Broncos guy all the way, Peyton Manning all the way, rooting for him in the fan mode. And, you know, a lot of people say, going around social media, that Peyton Manning has three interceptions and that Sherman will take one back and Lynch runs for 175 yards. How far off are they on that?
Well, I think they're off in the sense of, I don't think we're going to see a lot of turnovers from Peyton Manning today. I think there's going to be one. There typically always is. That's how football works. There's always one, maybe two. I don't think he's going to shrink in the moment. He has had, he's had his career year here, there, and the addition of Wes Welker, he has the two Thomases. I mean, he's got more weapons, I think, now than maybe he's ever had. And he's at a point mentally in his career where he is at the top of his game. He has confidence in what his physical abilities let him do at this stage of his career. He knows his limits. And I don't see the turnovers. I see a very close game. And the only thing I would agree with this. I think the only thing or one of the only things that really keeps Seattle in this thing is the ability of Marshawn Lynch to run. I do think he will have 100 to 150 yards tonight because that Denver defense has not shown me, outside of the Patriots game where they played pretty darn well, they've not shown me enough here yet in the playoffs.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that big white elephant in the room, if you will, Peyton Manning's legacy. Peyton Manning staying around in the NFL. Certainly he's in the twilight of his career and certainly fits the prototypical mold. Really, a lot of people would argue it may only be a win away from establishing himself as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And he's in his 14th season. He had an all-time single passing record. He's an MVP, passing record for passing touchdowns more than his entire career. Manning ranks second in yards and touchdowns. A lot of people would say another Super Bowl championship. Really, Peyton Manning, if you want to go out on the top of your game, we know you're a competitor. We know you want to stay around. We know you think that you can, and maybe you physically can, but why tarnish? Why take the risk of tarnishing your legacy? Let's say that he doesn't have the year that he had this year or next year. Let's say that for maybe he gets a small injury. It's not a devastating career-ending injury, but it puts him out 3 to 4 or 5 weeks. When you look at the law of averages, which is what we talk about when we talk about great quarterbacks, the averages go down when they don't have playing time. So if you want to quit at the top of your game, I say that if he stays around, he's going to taint that legacy rather than improve it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. And I think when you look at the greats, I mean, very few retire. And I know everybody wants to point to John Elway. Well, he won two championships. John Elway, the last two seasons, if you remember, look at the numbers. Not good. He was not even close to the top of his game. Terrell Davis had two Hall of Fame caliber years. I mean, the reason people talk about Terrell Davis to go to the Hall of Fame, the running back for the Broncos that rushed for a couple thousand yards each season, is because of those two seasons he had with that zone blocking scheme under Joe Gibbs' son's offensive line. And I tell you what, John Elway was not at the top of his game when he retired. He hung on, but he had the right pieces around him. That's what might be in place for Peyton Manning. Perhaps they are close enough to put the right pieces around him so he doesn't have to continue to carry this team on his back. That being said, I have talked to Peyton Manning probably a handful of times, maybe 5-6 times in my entire media career here in Indianapolis. And those conversations, I'll tell you, have lasted somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 seconds. I don't claim to know him at all. My dealings with him have been nothing but professional and positive. However, I don't know him as a person. I am starting to get a sense from the people that do know him and just his body language when he talks about retirement. I have a feeling that the game, and I don't mean this in an injury sense, I think the game is going to be at some point taken away from him. I think he's going to hang on to the point until he really cannot physically do it anymore. or a trusted advisor comes to him, whether it's his dad, whether it's one of his brothers, whether it's Tony Dungy, whoever, comes to him and says, hey, Peyton, it's time, you need to walk away, or hopefully this is not the case, but another injury will take him from the game. I just don't think he is going to be the type of player that's going to say, hey, you know what, I won two, I went to three Super Bowls, I'm in the ballpark of every major record. I just don't see him walking away anytime this year, next year, the year after that. I'm willing to have that conversation, but I think he's in for the long haul with Denver. I actually think he's going to play out this contract, and he may be getting to a point where he negotiates a 1 or 2 year deal to stay on a little bit further. And why I think that is simply, I don't know that he sees life after football yet. Obviously, he's got children, and that does help you make the transition. But we've talked about this before. Peyton Manning is not going to be a coach. That's the most asinine thing I think I ever anybody say. Why would Peyton Manning take a, 450% pay cut to go and try to tell people to do things that he could do that they can't? He will
exactly,
not coach.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, I heard Dan Patrick this week say, you know, everybody mentions television, and Dan Patrick made a point that, you know, it's very possible that he could be very successful in television. He's very witty, but it may not be for him. I always point to Jerome Bettis. I always thought Jerome Bettis was funny and had a quick wit. TV did not work out for him at all. And it's hard to say if that's a route Peyton Manning will do now, unless he gets like a John Gruden quarterback class or something like that. I don't know how you use him on television necessarily.
Well, absolutely.
He's not going to coach. He's not going to go run for governor of Tennessee, though he could easily get elected. I don't know that he sees a life after football other than, you know, staying at home and being with the kids, which are sometimes that's enough for people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's got a great family, and certainly he could retire, go away, and never come back. I don't see that happening. You know, you jokingly mention politics, but it's no secret that Peyton Manning does have a love for politics, and
right.
And I kind of like the way he swings, so, you know. But, you know, I know this isn't a political show, but we know Peyton Manning's a little bit of the conservative nature, which I'm completely okay with. Well, real quickly, last question here on Peyton Manning and his legacy. Another legacy is at loom, I think, and maybe John Elway's legacy's already written. Don't get me wrong, maybe it's not at loom. But how much does Peyton Manning affect John Elway's legacy? That said, either which way, does John Elway be that ear in Peyton Manning's head that says, you can still play, get out there and play?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. First off, we have the opportunity today to see John Elway now establish himself as something I think many are surprised he had great success with. He could be a Super Bowl winning president of a team. And I don't think a lot of people, when that hire was made, saw that coming. And I think that is impressive. There's only a handful of players that have gone on to have extremely successful general manager careers. Obviously, we're in a city where a guy is doing all right after having a good NBA career, and he actually had a pretty good coaching career, and now a top-level GM career. But you don't see that very often. But I do think one of the reasons Peyton Manning signed with Denver is exactly because of John Elway. And I think he trusts John Elway, and I think that could be a guy that could really help him make that decision going forward when it's time to hang him up. And I think Elway will be one of those people that he trusts to tell him, hey, yes, you can still do this, or hey, maybe it's time to call it a day.
Time to call it a day. Well, Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos, doing battle at East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's Super Bowl 48. or however many Roman numerals that is. I'm a proponent, and I said this yesterday on the show, I'm a proponent. Let's get rid of the Roman numerals, because I literally got to, like, wait, is that a little X, a big X? You know, I have problems with the metric system and Roman numerals. So, you know, we get it. It's went on for a long time. No, I know that's part of the heritage and the history of the NFL. Real quickly, though, Matt Hicks, 1070 The Fan, thanks for joining us. I want to know who wins and why.
I think I go with my heart today. I'm going to have a hard time processing watching Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl in another uniform, but I think it's going to happen. I do think it's a one-score game. I think it's a 31-24 game, and maybe Seattle has a chance to tie it at the end. Maybe they don't. Maybe Denver runs out the clock. But I do think Peyton Manning has 300-plus yards. I think the turnovers are kept to a minimum, and while Seattle is able to score the football today in the end zone, I don't think they can get in enough times to overcome Denver. So I like Seattle. I like Denver today, 31-24.
There you go. And by the way, my official pick is going to be a little bit later on. But I think, though, if you can read between the lines, I'm going to be like you, like I said a while ago. When this show's over, I'm taking my media hat off and putting my fan hat on. I'll let you all draw your own conclusions on who that might be. But I will give the official announcement, my official I try to use the word on Groundhog Day, but whatever. Proxitani Field.
Provocation.
There we go. That's the word I was looking for. It's Sunday morning. I'm not used to talking this early on Sunday morning.
That's right.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you coming on with us today. And have yourself a safe and pleasant Super Bowl Sunday, sir.
Hey, thank you, Tom. If I can mention real quick, Jersey Johnny, on at noon today on 1070 The Fan. We're obviously going to talk about the Super Bowl. We've got the mayor of East Rutherford on. His tickets came from Jim Irsay. We find that kind of fascinating, so we're going to talk to him. We're actually also going to talk to Sean Ash from WTHR about the weather in New York and New Jersey and here. Apparently, he doesn't want to quit snowing, and there's a major snow event coming next week. And also, we'll talk to Mark Monteith at Pacers.com about this Andrew Bynum signing and what that might mean for the Pacers going forward.
Great news. And, you know, I did know that, Matt, and I apologize. I knew that you and Jersey Johnny won. I had it here on my notes. So thanks for helping us out on that. And great show. Local radio here in Indianapolis, 1070 The Fan, Jersey Johnny and Matt Hicks doing their own Super Bowl show. So, Matt, have yourself a good show. And go Broncos, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. Make sure you catch his show this afternoon with Jersey Johnny here local in the Indianapolis market. Well, guys, we're going to take a break. We got another hour left. You know, we got another hour left. We're going to be taking your calls, 917-889-8516. We're live. Give us a call. Let's talk Super Bowl. What's on your mind? The Broncos? The Seahawks? What's on your mind? We'll be right back. Right here on the Balance Radio Network, it's Super Bowl Sunday!
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Super Bowl, please, and step on it.
All right, shut up.
It's time for
the Little Bet Go Quiz.
Okay, Elizabeth, Super Bowl, real quick one, real easy, simple as can be, just one game. Do you go with the San Francisco 49ers or the Baltimore Ravens?
Baltimore Ravens.
Who picked that?
Elizabeth the Green. Remember to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek. I want to thank an impossible and the balance online host Tom Mark with Sammy on off season.
All right, my minions, welcome back to our Super Bowl special. As obviously the Ravens aren't playing in the Super Bowl this year. Hey, I tell you what, live radio doesn't ever get any better than that. Let's try this. Elizabeth the Great.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Something new, something revolutionary.
Football, the sport of kings.
Super Bowl, please, and step on it.
It's time for...
Let's do it.
The Elizabeth go Great.
Okay, Elizabeth, last one of the year. It's a quick one. We're going to throw something new into it, though.
What, Daddy? What is it?
We're going to have you also pick the MVP. So let's get to it. Two teams, Super Bowl 48. Who do you go with, the Seattle Seahawks or the Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Okay, and the new thing we're going to add, who do you think is going to be the MVP for Super Bowl 48? Are you going to go with wide receiver Demetrius Thomas? Is it defensive end Sean Phillips? Wide receiver Golden Tate? Cornerback Richard Sherman or quarterback Peyton Manning?
Quarterback Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is going to be the MVP of Super Bowl 48. And yes. Who picked those?
Me. Make sure you like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek. And I want to thank all my fans who will listen to this year, and I'll be back next year.
All right, Elizabeth the Great, giving her official pick for Super Bowl 48. Man, I tell you what, I that was my fault. You know, I will take full responsibility for that. My show, Super Bowl Sunday, I'll sad sack myself. I pushed the wrong button. Hey, you know what? I love Elizabeth the Great. I keep her around for so long. That was last year's pick. Well, there you go. She got it right, didn't she? Guys, my name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Let's talk some Super Bowl, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Every year in the cold throes of winter, furry soldiers meet on an AstroTurf battlefield to determine who is top dog. The world watches as distinguished athletes rise above the shadows. Plus, it's just really freaking cute. This is the Puppy Bowl, Game Day Revisited. On the heels of a successful Puppy Bowl 8, fans and dogs alike couldn't contain their excitement for number 9. The league moved to bring back elements that fans love, including extended tailgating hours, the hamster blend, and the thrilling kitty halftime show. With this year's edition of Hedgehog Cheerleaders, it was only a matter of time before the league assessed its first ever excessive cuteness penalty. Safety continues to be a league focus with more water breaks, and a biting a defenseless receiver rule were added to further protect puppy players. During negotiations last season, the powerful puppy union landed the cutest benefit of all, more in-game nap time. Sally, a Basset Dachshund mix, put the first points on the board with a pick six, marking the first time a defensive player scored in Puppy Bowl history. The opposing quarterback threw a wounded duck pass. Literally, it was a duck toy. And Sally snatched it right out of the air, Without hesitation, she ran as fast as her paws would take her to the end zone to give her team the early lead. As can be the case at Puppy Bowl, some of the most exciting plays didn't involve scoring or a ball and weren't even really part of the game. But who can forget the acrobatic performance displayed by Arlo and Coda during their scrum in the fourth quarter? The melee proved irresistible to Juniper, who couldn't wait to join the action. Before you know it, we had an impromptu cute cam moment. Some viewers suspect that certain puppy players were just canoodling up to the camera. But anybody who knows this trio of troublemakers knows when they're out on the field, their focus is solely on the game. Started as a casual pastime, Puppy Bowl has become a renowned sports phenomenon. Legends rise and fall on this acclaimed astroturf of hope and dreams. The plays will be recounted and retold through generations of puppies who have followed the game since their eyes first opened. No one can predict what lies ahead for the Puppy Bowl, but it's certain we'll all be watching.
Sunday, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah. How about those Seahawks getting to the Super Bowl? There is another team other than the Denver Broncos playing in the Super Bowl this year. So we want to give fair love to the Hawks. The 12th man, let's face it. If you want to talk about fan base, the Seattle Seahawks got it. The 12th man. Although here in Indianapolis, we'd like to believe that the 12th man lives here, too. But I think that's the case in pretty much any NFL city. You know, really, for once, I think we're going to have an exciting Super Bowl. We're going to see two teams, as we've talked about many times yesterday and today, and you'll hear it throughout the rest of the day today. But don't you love being the first stop for Super Bowl? Right here, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., you get up, you have your coffee, you have your bagel, whatever you got going on, getting ready. watch a little bit of Punxsutawney Phil. Six more weeks of winter, and boom, right into the balance. And here you are. We want to talk with you today. 917-889-8516. My phone lines are wide open. And I know we always get a lot of calls from up there in the New York area. So, hey, if you're in that area, give us a call. If you're anywhere, if you're in Seattle, it's awful early in the morning for you there right now. 7:15 in the morning, I believe that's what time it is there in Seattle. But it doesn't matter what time it is. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And you know what? We're here to talk about it. We've got less than an hour left on our Super Bowl special. The top-ranked defense, the Seattle Seahawks and the 12th man, go into East Rutherford, New Jersey, led by their general, Russell Wilson, also Marshawn Lynch. You know, a lot of people kind of give Marshawn Lynch the bad rap. Call him a thug. Maybe he is from a lot of people's standards. Maybe he isn't from a lot of people's standards. And, you know, I saw a interview on ESPN when I was doing some show prep. And maybe a lot of times we give these guys – now, again, don't get me wrong. Certainly when he was with the Buffalo Bills and a lot of he's not been your perfect role model by any stretch of the imagination. So by no means am I condoning his actions. But maybe, as society, we jump on that thug bandwagon a little too quickly. And yours truly is probably one of the most guilty culprits of that. And, you know, maybe I'm not always right. But when you make the kind of money that Marshawn Lynch did, and you're not surrounded by good people, you might make mistakes. You know, that's all I'm saying. And, you know, and I bring all this up because the question was asked to him on a recent ESPN interview. What do you say when people say that you're a thug? Well, you know, he had a very, very good response. And as we know, Marshawn Lynch doesn't like the media anyway. He never really talked to the media. What was he at, media day every bit of 6 minutes? Very quiet, very reserved guy. He's had his problems. Don't get me wrong. But ESPN was able to sit down with him for a few minutes and get him to talk and open up and ask him, said, what do you say when people say to you that you are a thug? He says, I don't really have anything to say to them other than that, the fact that I wonder how they would be growing up in poor housing project, having parents that didn't care about him, having to go to school for weeks of time with the same clothes, no food in his belly, to attach himself to football so that he could have some structure in his life. He took it upon himself to seek out football and found some mentors and begin to grow in football. He goes, my life changed drastically. Big checks were coming. And he said that, you know, I went from being a nobody to being a somebody, and nobody taught me how to be somebody. What a great response. So, Marshawn Lynch, Seattle Seahawks, my hat's off to you on that. And I watched that interview this morning, and I thought, when I was doing show prep here for the show, and I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty deep, especially coming from a guy who's pretty well-reserved. So maybe, as fans, we sometimes jump on the bandwagon of making assumptions, stereotype assumptions as they may be, too soon and prematurely. I know I've been guilty of that. We want to hear your thoughts. So what are your thoughts of the Seattle Seahawks, the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, Pete Carroll, Coach Fox? What's a Fox say? Fox says, I'm going to win me a Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, and it's only fitting because of the fact that we've been playing this throughout the season. It's only fitting that we play this.
What does the Fox say? What the Fox say?
We all know, at least most of us should know, that John Fox is the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Two coaches, two generals leading their teams from two different cities. And really, two different types of coaching styles. We look at Pete Carroll and his dynasty at USC. They won some championships. A lot of people, there again, we were talking about with Marshawn Lynch, want to jump on the hater bandwagon, if you will, with Pete Carroll. Call him a fraud. Call him a cheater. We can get in that conversation if you want. But basically, he's proven himself to be a Super Bowl head coach, along with John Fox. Peyton Manning may have wrote that legacy for John Fox, John Elway. We talked about that with Matt Hicks. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm over at 1070 The Fan here locally here in the Indianapolis market, helping us break down some of the X's and O's of the game. What do you have some Super Bowl traditions? What about the commercials? What is your favorite Super Bowl commercial? You know, there are so many. It's just become as biggest part of the game. All the pregame stuff, all of the parties. You know, we hosted a Super Bowl here in Indianapolis and not too long ago, and we had something downtown, and it's still down there. It's called Super Bowl Village, although it's not Super Bowl Village, but they immortalized, if you will, Super Bowl. We certainly are hoping that we could get a Super Bowl back in Indianapolis. But one thing that I learned firsthand, there is so much to the Super Bowl that doesn't even include the game. So what are your memories of the Super Bowl? We choked. We had such a good time yesterday with Axel. And I hate to keep bringing this up, but he was like, hey, you know, I remember that. And about the boob thing, the wardrobe malfunction. But as Matt Hicks went on to allude to say that, hey, you know, that changed television history. So Super Bowl has been frontiering, trailblazing, and making it happen. Super Bowl 48, East Rutherford, New Jersey. The top defense against the top offense. Quarterback versus defense. With just 5 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions in his last 6 games. Russell Wilson, that's right, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. You heard what Matt Hicks said. He said, hey, a lot of people might say he's just another African-American quarterback that just takes off running. But he really has a very unique ability to improvise. And as I talked about, the Broncos don't have a very good defense. They're gonna cause the Broncos some problems and some headaches. So, you know, the Broncos' defense, And maybe we will finally get the answer to the question. What wins Super Bowls? Defenses or offenses? Like I said, with just 5 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions in his last 6 games, Russell Wilson has maybe hit a rough patch at the wrong time. And he's up against a defense that's been playing its best football lately. Lately. But the Super Bowl has a way of changing people, has a way of changing teams. You see teams play differently in the Super Bowl than you ever saw them play before. Nonetheless, Russell Wilson is the quarterback that has to lead the Seattle Seahawks to a victory. He certainly has the ability to manage the clock. He certainly has the ability to extend the time of the game. And that can come into your favor late in the game. And let's think about it. He's not been that shabby of a quarterback. 61.3 completion percentage. I think any NFL team would like to have that. Not everybody's as blessed to have a Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck. And really, you know, his most favorite target will be Marshawn Lynch. Their linebackers come hard, and they hit hard. They're in-your-face football, smash-mouth defense. which might be why the Seattle Seahawks are the best defense in the NFL. Not just saying that they're the best defense in the NFL because they got to the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's not the case with the Broncos. But by the numbers, by the X's and by the O's, Seattle has the best defense in the NFL, at least for the 2013-2014 season. We'll be talking about a different team probably next year. It wouldn't be surprising to me, anyway, to see the Broncos, really stay in their base defense. Maybe they got some secret weapons. You know, the thing about Peyton Manning, he always has weapons. So that's why, you know, this is going to be a tight, tight game. You know, and I guess that's why we see, really, when you look at a point spread of 3, 2, 5, come on, either way the wind blows, it could go. So certainly, you know, we've got a matchup that is a perfect storm. What are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. We've got about 30 minutes left of the show. We want to talk with you about your Super Bowl, your Super Bowl tradition, your Super Bowl foods. You know, I haven't made one in a few years because it's very dangerous. But I'm going to make me a bacon explosion one of these days again. Just take some bacon and more bacon and more bacon. You put some sausage in there and you wrap it up, more bacon and more bacon, and you layer it and you just kind of fold it over. And it becomes this big loaf of bacon and sausage and cheese and peppers and hot peppers and jalapenos. And then you put it on the grill. Yeah, baby. Woo, boy, there's a reason they call it a bacon explosion. It doesn't explode on the grill. It doesn't explode in your mouth. Well, it might explode in your mouth. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You got to make me another one of those bacon. So maybe that's one of your things you like to do. You like to grill out and you like certain foods. You know, today I think I'm going to make some wings and some Coney dogs and some cheeseburgers and nachos. I mean, it's really just going to be a junk food fest around my house today. And without any bacon. I'm not baking the bacon explosion today. I mean, should. I love me some bacon. You know, normally I have a Super Bowl party. I just been so swamped, so busy. Things just didn't happen this year for me to get it all together. But rest assured, I'll have it next year. So typically I have a lot more people that'll be at my house than I do tonight. But it's just me and my lovely lady, and you also know her as our producer, social media director, Miss Michelle Jones. And me and her are going to just lay low, watch the game, and fill up on some junk food. I'm going to smoke me a stogie, maybe have a few brews, and call it a day. Got to be responsible. I got to go to my other job tomorrow, my real job. How many of you guys got to get up, go to work? Why, you know, they should say, okay, holidays, Christmas, New Year's, Super Bowl. Let's get the day after. At least get paid for it. So maybe you've got some special traditions. Maybe you just, you know, go to a friend's house and you guys play games and whatever. How many of you guys want to play a drinking game with me? Ty Peyton Manning says Omaha. Omaha! Not only is there $1,700 put into the kitty, but, you know, hey, we could have a little drinking game on that. The official balanced drinking game. Although, I warn you, we could be in some bad conditions later on in the day. So make sure that you're at a place where you're not going to be driving. But the official balanced drinking game is announced. Do this every year, the balanced drinking game. All right? It'll be up on our social media. Every time you hear Omaha, you got to take a drink. Now, I know a lot of you people don't drink alcohol. Okay, great. Take a sip of Pepsi. Take a big shot of Mountain Dew. At best, at the end of the night, you'll be feeling the effects of Omaha. And, hey, you know, every time Omaha said $1,700 goes to the Payback Foundation, Peyton Manning's foundation for underprivileged children. I think there's even a Vegas spread on that. A lot of people, I think, are at least doing those prop bets, if you will, is what we'd like to call them, over and under how many times Omaha will be said. It's 27.5 over and under is the spread. They actually put a spread on Omaha. So be a part of that. Balanced drinking game. Every time you hear Omaha, got to take a drink. So it's our annual Super Bowl special going on right now. We have 30 minutes left, guys. It is Super Bowl 48. Want to talk about the X's and the O's with me? Give me a call. You want to talk about the offensive line against the defensive front? You want to talk about Lynch's running style? You would assume the Seahawks offensive line is all about power. But really, it's not. They also make a lot of zone blocking to catch linebackers in the wash. They isolate them. Ambush them. I tell you what, Lynch is another weapon. It's just going to be crazy. Now, you know, maybe you want to look at Russell Wilson. Is he the man on the run? He can run. And we've seen that. Maybe you give the edge to the Broncos when it comes to the wide receivers and tight ends versus the secondary. You can do that, obviously, because Peyton Manning certainly has a way of finding his wide receivers, his tight ends. Heck, he made Dallas Clark one of the greatest tight ends of the game. I'm a Dallas Clark fan. Kind of weird seeing him over there in Baltimore, but I'm a Dallas Clark fan. Peyton Manning's made a lot of great people. Let's not forget Marvin Harrison. Let's not forget Reggie Wayne. So certainly, if you want to have an edge to the Broncos, I would say you would go with the wide receivers of the Broncos. Most people consider the Seahawks receivers really kind of an afterthought in this year's conversation anyway about the Super Bowl. The top four targets had 19 touchdowns all season. Compare that to the Broncos. Peyton Manning, record-hitting, setting numbers. But the availability of one Percy Harvin as an X factor, talked about that yesterday. Chad was talking about it with us. Axel, about him being an X factor in this game. Especially since a secondary that has proven vulnerable. I tell you what, just having Harvin on the field in the slot will force the Broncos to make some adjustments. I don't think for one minute Peyton Manning's eyes are not on him. maybe Omaha will be a cue to Percy Harvin. Double up on Harvin. I mean, doubling Harvin, I should say. But there again, put all your eggs in one basket. You look at another weapon, Doug Baldwin. Baldwin. Certainly that would create some one-on-one opportunities there. So, you know, maybe you want to look at that. Maybe you want to look at the running backs versus the linebackers. You would, if you looked at that situation, you certainly would have to give it to the Seahawks. Maybe the Broncos should try holding up a bunch of tape recorders and notepads when Lynch lines up. Get their iPhones and iPads up. So all I'm telling you guys is those of you who are saying that this is going to be a lopsided game, either which way, you know, you might say, okay, I think it's going to be a 35-7 game Seattle, or vice versa. I think you're all wrong. There's a reason. I don't always agree with the spread. Even though I don't do a lot of gambling, per se, I like to watch it and see the needle fluctuate a little bit, especially on big games like this. I didn't pay as much attention to it this year as I typically do, but you know, maybe there. But there is a reason this year that you wanna pay attention to that spread this year. It ain't gonna be a 35-7 game. At least not in my mind. It's gonna be more like a 23-17 game. That's what my good buddy Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, he tweeted. His prediction is the Broncos 23-17. $2 Bill Josh's prediction is the Seahawks. What's your prediction? 917-889-8516. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Sunday. It is Super Bowl. That's right. But I tell you what, we have just a whole lot of show left for you. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. We got to take a break. But taking us into the break, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what if an actual Seahawk and an actual Bronco did battle? Who would win? Taking us into the break, we're going to get that question answered. We'll take a break. We'll be right back for our final segment right here on the Balance Radio Network. It is Super Bowl Sunday.
Hi, I'm Alex Farnham, and this is Animalist News Sports. So with the Super Bowl on its way, we decided to find out who would really win if a Seahawk and a Bronco battled it out. Let's look at the facts. The Seahawk, otherwise known as Osprey, is a carnivore who loves eating fish, reptiles, and birds by diving down and snatching them up. They have reversible toes, unlike any other hawk, and great aim. So pretty much 70% of the time, they hit their target with their powerful talons. And their top speed is 80 miles per hour. Their only downside? They weigh about 4 pounds. Whoa, what a competitor. By any means, not mediocre. Now let's take a look at the Broncos. The Bronco, otherwise known as the untrained horse, is slower than an Osprey with its approximate top speed at 50 miles per hour. However, this is the larger competitor that can weigh over 1,000 pounds. It can sustain hits way harder, and with it being heavier, stronger, and bigger than an Osprey, it could probably kick or buck an Osprey into the air with its strong hoofs. Whoa, all right, folks, now for the moment you've all been waiting for, let's take a look at the 2014 Super Bowl Animalist Supercomputer Game Day Simulation. Whoa, well, I wasn't expecting that. Who do you guys think is going to win in the battle between an Osprey and a Bronco? Let us know in the comments down below. Don't forget to check out the other videos over here, subscribe, and I'll see you hairy mammals tomorrow. Omaha.
Wish in the well, the Johns thought you would fit well. Now you are a Bronco. In 2012, we traded Tebow for picks. He was not the right fit. Elway knew the right fix, and now you're our QB. Your leadership holding, rocket arm, pedigree showing, San Fran and Titans tried, but my life.
Baby, hey, we just signed you, and this is crazy. 18.
way to look right at you painted on diesel color. So Super Bowl baby, hey, we just signed you, and this is crazy. It is your number, so Super Bowl baby, and all the other teams tried to chase you.
Bo do bleep, bo bo geep, bo dwa da do da dwa ma. Hey, touch foot? Oh, watch it out. Mm-hmm. Una, two. Look at you. More like
Minions, welcome back, Super Bowl Sunday. And you know, you could be a Minion as well. Just go to Facebook and click like on the ballot. Well, we've got just a few minutes left here to talk some X's and O's. If you want to be a part of the show, 917-889-8516. Okay, here's what we've got. Here's what we've established. We know that it's going to be the Broncos versus the Seattle Seahawks. We know we've got the best defense against the best offense. We know we've got quarterbacks that have two different styles. We know we've got a great coach, Pete Carroll and John Fox. We also know that each of those have their own weapons and what to go with. And we've kind of talked about Peyton Manning's legacy as a quarterback. And Matt Hicks alluded to the fact that Peyton Manning's going to stay around. We've established all of that. We still want to know your picks. Tweet us your picks, at T-Balance. Is it the Hawks or the Broncos? Just simple tweet, at T-Balance, Hawks. We want to know. Let's see how many votes we could get for the last 15 minutes of the show. If you want to talk about the Super Bowl, 917-889-8516. Had a lot of fun on today's show. We do this every year, and we just have fun. We play little, you know, fun sound bites and all kinds of different ways to predict the Super Bowl. That was pretty cool. A Seahawk versus a Bronco. Get the Puppy Bowl. I'm going to be watching the Puppy Bowl. Who's with me? Oh, what a great time the Puppy Bowl is. That's just part of Super Bowl Sunday. Getting you ready. Getting you geared up. But your first stop of the day was right here at the Balance. So, we set the groundwork for the entire day right here on this show. And me, your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis, you, the Minions. You set the groundwork. At T-Balance. Facebook, The Balance, just hit like. It's that easy. While you're out there on the internet, don't forget about our other two sites that we have. IndyAndMay.com. That's right. All IndyCar, all the time, or racing, for the most part, IndyCar. Then our Facebook fan page, Pro Indy, at Pro Indy. If you want to follow some pro sports here in Indianapolis, whether it be the Pacers, the Colts, the Indians, the new Indy 11. Had Sean Horton on yesterday. He's going to be covering that for us here on The Balance. So, we do the Super Bowl show every Sunday. I mean, every Sunday. Every year, we talk Super Bowl. But what we do all year long is we bring you the best in sports. If you, the fan, are talking, forget about this mainstream media crap. If you, the fan, are talking about it, we're talking about it. And we want to talk about it. So, keep that in mind. Every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network, 9 to 11, we talk sports. All right, guys, quarterbacks versus defensive scheme. Let's look at a quarterback that we know is going to be playing today, Peyton Manning, when he has the ball. I'll tell you what, the key to any defense is to keep Peyton Manning off the field. That in itself is probably your best bet. Peyton Manning is on the verge of capping off one of the greatest seasons of any quarterback in history. Wrap your mind around that. After 55 touchdown passes in the regular season, he's led the Broncos to score on every postseason possession, other than kneel downs. But Manning has yet to come up against defensive skills like the Seahawks. I'm telling you guys, there might be the possibility we see Peyton Manning throw some pretty good interceptions. The thing about it is Peyton Manning knows how to bounce back. You may not see many gyrations out of Manning. He may not take off running. He looks like a baby giraffe. That was classic. But he is a serious, potent weapon at the line of scrimmage. And he'll change the play quickly. We might be a lot of drunk people by the end of the day if you're taking a part in the balanced drinking game. It's real simple. Every time Peyton Manning yells Omaha, you take a drink or a shot. Even if it's Pepsi or Coke Zero or Mountain Dew or Gatorade. I saw a recipe on television this morning called Bronco Juice. I'm not sure exactly how it's made. Maybe we can get the recipe up there for you. But I know it's like an energy drink and some sugar and some soda. I'm not sure. But take a drink of that. That'll get you going. So we'll see. Chances are we'll see a lot of changes at the line of scrimmage. The key is whether Manny can get up to a rhythm. We talked about this yesterday on the show. Peyton Manning has to get off to an early start, has to really gain control out of this game early, hit hard and early. Certainly, he has to play a full 60 minutes, but he has to gain control of this game very, 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 very early in order to do that. Thanks, Michelle, just sent me the all right, here's the recipe for the Bronco Juice. You ready? Two Gatorades, blue or orange. So the sugar-free kind, two Gatorades, I'm sorry, blue or orange, and then the no sugar, 1 pound on top of after adding ice. So, I'm trying to, basically it's Gatorade, sugar, blue or orange, and the no sugar, 1 pound on top of after adding ice. Well, I don't know. That's the recipe. We'll get it up for Bronco Juice. You take a shot out of that. But there you go. Bronco Juice. Running backs versus linebackers when the Broncos have the ball. Really, this is where the the issue with the Seattle Seahawks can be dangerous. The behind-the-scenes things that happen on this show sometimes, it just makes everything worth doing the show. So I think really the linebackers, I guess getting back to point here, the linebackers are going to be able to stop the run. And I think that Peyton Manning's weapon is on in the air, in the pass, if you will. The defense for Seattle Seahawks is huge, huge. I mean, you look at safety Cam Chancellor can move into a run support and give Seattle the edge. All right, guys, what's your prediction? The Broncos, the Seahawks. I'll tell you what, this is set up to be one of the biggest, best Super Bowls we have ever seen. The Seahawks narrowly win the battle of matchups. Does Manning hold the trump card? Or does the Seattle defense hold the trump card? I don't know that Manning does hold the trump card. I mean, a lot of people will say that the Seahawks will hold Manning, and they probably can, and they probably will. Chances are, this is going to be a low-scoring game. Certainly, I believe the Seahawks can hold Manning's offense to 10 points in the first half. We might see a score somewhere maybe 17-10 in the first half. So, it's the best defense against the best offense. So who wins that battle? Well, honestly, if you want my opinion, the one who wins the battle is the one who's able to control the clock better. The one who's able to keep – the defense will win that battle if they're able to keep Peyton Manning off the field. If they're not able to do that, Peyton Manning will surely win this battle tonight. We got 5 minutes left here on our annual Super Bowl special. I tell you what, it's been great, a lot of fun. How much fun do we have here on the Balance Super Bowl Network? Got a couple more sound clips to play for you. We'll be right back with my official Super Bowl prediction.
Macklemore, the city of Seattle's very proud of you, as they should be. We're really happy for you. We're going to let you finish. But just know Sunday, it's all about Broncos country. Time to ride. When I was in the third grade, I knew there'd be a day we would gather at Civic Center for a championship parade. Sherman, run to your mom, tears rushing down your face, crying, Welker, Decker, Thomas, mom, I can't keep pace. True. We repped that Broncos country faithfully. Bunch of chickens of the sea squawking near our heads. You could do the math. We ran the league historically. Now the trophy's coming back to the 303.
We got that old school quarterback leading that drive. Chapin, Power, Rose, and Ian Nacho on the D side. United in orange, we rep it with pride. We shine. Broncos country, time to ride.
Roll to NYC, like what up, who wanna get rocked? Is that a flock of pigeons? Oh no, that's just the Seahawks. Blizzard of sun, not worried about the weather. Have you heard about us? Even our kicker breaks records. Roll through the AFC, Phyllis and Tom Brady. One beast mode, that's cute. We got 53, bring the whole kitchen sink. 12th man's gonna think. Probably shouldn't watch this, guaranteed Bronco victory. Trust me, this be that Broncos championship country. Chasing rings since 1983, LA and TD busted. Getting number three, then we're going back, back on crushing. Haters hold the dance, no they can't tell us nothing. Bring the shit back to the people, repping Broncos country. The haters out there, no they can't tell us nothing. This ring is for the people, repping Broncos country.
Minions, it has come to that time. Myself, Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is time for my official prediction my official prognostication. See, I did it. I can do it. Man, you just, you got nothing on me. Feel the gopher. My official prediction for the Super Bowl 48 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The time has come. You've been waiting for it. It is here. I, Tom Marcus, El Presidente, officially pick the Denver Broncos 27-24. It is going to be a three-point game. They do cover the spread. The Broncos win 27-24. That is it. And so be it. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Your official announcement has been made. Well, guys, it's been real. It's been good. It's been fun. We'll see you again next year. Remember, if you're out there and you're taking part in our drinking game, we encourage you to drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Put your keys in a bowl. Whatever you got to do, stay home. But don't take, if you're going to drive, you don't get to play our drinking game, at least the alcohol part of it. Remember, Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. When Peyton Manning says Omaha, you drink, guys. I'm out of here. My name's Tom Mark, was El Presidente. Happy Super Bowl Sunday!
AFC Championship.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
The Denver Broncos are heading to the Super Bowl.
Jump back!
Omaha!
There's that sound!
Omaha!
Here it comes! Right before a touchdown! No clue! What the heck is gonna do? Has a vision! Changing decisions! Why's he yelling that?
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha!
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 Rag Montana, 5 minutes!
Omaha!
Cut that meat!
Omaha!
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.